Hello and welcome from Good Shepherd Church of Camarillo. We're so glad you're with us. Here's today's message.
Well, good morning. What a beautiful day and what a beautiful place to come and worship here in this outdoor cathedral. It's so good to be together and to see your smiling faces. We have been living in a difficult time when meeting together has not been encouraged. But you know, the word says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is, and much more so as you see the day approaching. And we see his coming is getting close, and we need to be together. We need to look into someone else's face. We need to smile to them. I came out of a store the other day, and of course, I'm wearing my mask, and so is the gal at the counter. She's wearing her mask. So I said, I know you're smiling under your mask, and I pulled my down and I smiled to her. And you know, we need a smile, we need affirmation. And in the benediction that we use, it says, cause your face to shine upon us. And we ask the Lord, we ask God to come, and as it were, take a mask off and smile to us and say, I approve of you, I love you, I welcome you. If you look into someone's face and there's no welcome and there's no approval, you know, we feel crushed inside. And, you know, we walk around like zombies with masks on, and we don't know whether people are pleased with us, whether they're angry with us, whether they're happy to see us or what. But I'm happy to be here this morning and to speak here. Pastor Chad asked me to speak this morning, and I know there are many very capable speakers in this fellowship that he asked me, and I'm honored to do that. My name is David Kilpatrick. My wife is here, Margaret, my beautiful wife. I have been a pastor on pastoral staff in the church in Ventura for 32 years. My wife has been a school teacher in a Christian school for 27 years. After that, I brought her home. I needed her at home. So we have come through some difficult times. I came through cancer, and Margaret has just gone through a major break in her leg. So we're good, we're glad to be out here this morning, able to just praise the Lord and worship him together. Christmas, you know, we all look forward to it. This is Advent season. And, you know, when I was a younger child, I thought, well, Christmas never is never going to come. But now it seems to come so quickly. And I finally worked out why. Well, when I was a child, it was like I had to wait 1/7 of my year for Christmas to come. And now it's only a 70th, so it's like so much quicker. It gets there quicker. And if you're getting older, you probably notice the same thing happening. And we rejoice in God's gift and God's love to us in sending Jesus to us. This is Advent. We look forward to Christmas. We look forward to celebrating the time that God stepped into our affairs and came as our Savior. There's a verse in Galatians that says, when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. That was a message that was concerning the first advent, or the first coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I believe we're in that time when we're preparing and getting to the place where Jesus is coming again. So we prepare for Christmas, but we need to be prepared for that great day when he comes and calls us home. The message titled for today is, what child is this? Lots of children were born, but this one was special. This one was special. And I would just like to share a few scriptures regarding him and who he is and what he means to us and what he wants us to be to him. We read that wise men came from the east, and they came to the king. They thought, well, if someone special is going to be born, he's got to be born in the palace. And they asked, where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and we've come to worship him. And Jesus didn't become a king. He always was a king. He existed from the beginning of time. All things were made by him. And he was the creator and the sustainer and the beginning of everything. So I'd like to just take a little look. You know, they say when you start to preach, you preach from Genesis to Revelation. So maybe I'll do that this morning, because I haven't been preaching very much and I've got a lot of stuff stored up. So hold on. But I'll do it quickly. So when we go back into the Old Testament, we see 4,000 years of prophecy concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. And the first prophetic word concerning him was this. It says, "And I will put enmity between thee and the woman." This is God speaking to the serpent. "And between thy seed and her seed, it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." There was a movie that came out sometime by Mel Gibson called The Passion of Christ. And of course, people, when they make movies, they use a lot of license in making those. But there's one scene there that I really like. And it's a scene where Jesus is praying in the Garden of Gethsemane. And he's saying, "Lord, if it's possible, let this pass from me. You know, the enemy that I'm facing, it's big and it's strong." And he said, "If you don't want me to do, if I really would rather not to do this, but if you want me to do it," he said, "not my will, but thine be done." And then we see Jesus standing up, and this snake comes in the grass, and he stumps its head. And I go, yes, I know that's probably not what happened, but the symbolism in that was real. Jesus came to destroy Satan. Satan thought he had the victory when Jesus was crucified and dead. But Jesus rose again from the dead, victorious. And because of that, we know he is our Savior. Because of that, we know that we have no fear of death or the future, because Jesus is alive. Jesus, when he walked with the disciples on the Emmaus Road, and they were disappointed because it was after the crucifixion, and they said, "Well, we had hoped that it had been he." And then Jesus began in the prophets and in the Psalms, and he told them the things concerning himself. And they said, "Did not our hearts burn within us when he shared from the Word," which was the Old Testament or the original Bible that they had then. Psalms 2, it says, "Thou art my Son, this day have I begotten thee. Ask of me, and I will give you the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession." And God's Son was mentioned right in the beginning of Psalms. And then going on to Psalm 22. Jesus, or the psalmist wrote this: "The congregation of the wicked have enclosed me, they have pierced my hands and my feet. I count all my bones, they look and stare at me. They divide my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots." Jesus on the cross cried out, "My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" And the way I understand that is this. At that time, Psalm 22 did not have a 22 in front of it. That was not the title. The title of this psalm was, "My God, why hast thou forsaken me?" And Jesus was saying at this time, read Psalm 22, or read Psalm, "My God, my God," because it explained and spoke of Christ's crucifixion that was prophesied so long before. And he was saying this to those Jews and to those that were gathered around. Surely you can see that this is the word of God being fulfilled before you. And then the prophet Isaiah, and this one scripture that we like to read at Christmas, it's this: "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders. And his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it, to establish it, and with judgment and justice from henceforth, even forever. And the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this." What child is this? This child is not an ordinary child that's lying in the manger in Bethlehem. This is the Son of God. This is the King of Kings. This is someone who is the Wonderful Counselor. And he is the Mighty God, the God of creation, the God that spoke everything into existence. All things were made by him. He has humbled himself, and now he's lying in a manger. As the song said earlier, he was born into a place that was dirt. I was a farmer, and I know what it's like. I know some of you guys were farmers, dairy farmers. And you know what cows are like? Well, that's where he was born. He humbled himself, came into this world, and was born in that way. The prophet Zechariah said this: "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding on a donkey. He didn't come on a white horse like a Roman governor. He came like a simple person to simple people that would simply believe on him. That's who our Savior is. He stooped down to where we are. Isaiah 53, we all know it very, very well. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep, we've gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Thank God for a Savior that came. This is the baby we see in the manger at this time. Sometime you'll see stickers on cars that says, Jesus is the reason for the season. Well, he's more than the reason for the season. He's the reason that we are the reason that he came for, to redeem us, to make us his own, to make us his own church, to make us his own bride, to make us his own special people. There were angelic announcements concerning Jesus that should come. An angel spoke to Joseph and said to him concerning his wife Mary, and she shall bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. And also the angel Gabriel spoke also to Mary and said, behold, you shall conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. And he will be great. He will be called the Son of the Highest. The Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom, there will be no end. When Mary looked out the door and called her son home for dinner, she didn't open the door and say, Jesus. She opened the door and said, Yeshua. That was the word that was used there, that was given in the Hebrew text. Yeshua means Jehovah saves. You shall call his name Jehovah saves, or salvation that comes from Jehovah. Of course, at Christmas time, we like to picture the shepherds in the field and the angel coming to them and appearing to them. The angel said, behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were greatly afraid. No wonder. They'd never seen big screen televisions. They'd never been to a theater. They'd never seen dramatic stuff. And all of a sudden, the sky lights up, and these angels appear. You know? You would be afraid. Simple shepherds that never saw anything more complicated in the musical realm than a flute or a harp. And he said, don't be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David, a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Who is this child? This child is the Savior, Christ the Lord. When Jesus came, the Bible says he came to his own, and his own did not receive him. They rejected him. They wanted a king to come in power and majesty and in glory. And these simple shepherds said, well, let's go right now and let's go see this Savior that's born. And they came and bowed before him and worshiped him. Suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, on earth peace, goodwill towards men. And so it was when the angel had gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us now go to Bethlehem. And let us see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us. And in simple faith they came, in simple faith they believed. And that's how we approach this baby that was born in the manger, that was born king, that was born our God and our Savior. The last and the greatest of the Old Testament prophets that spoke concerning Jesus coming was John the Baptist. John the Baptist, as you know, Elizabeth conceived, and so did Mary, and John the Baptist was born, and he was a cousin, technically, to Jesus, according to that day. And the next day, John saw Jesus coming towards him, and he said, behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. This was a prophetic utterance that John the Baptist made. It wasn't something that he had learned. I'm sure he knew Jesus, or Yeshua as a boy growing up together. They probably went to temple together. And after this, it says, I did not know him, but by the Spirit of God, he knew him. And you know, we can academically learn lots of stuff about Jesus and who he is. We can study the Old Testament scriptures and look at the prophecies that are there. And I'm sure you've thought of many more than I've spoken this morning. Jesus said, you search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, but these are they that testify of me. The scriptures speak of Jesus, but to know Jesus is something that the Holy Spirit does and brings into our hearts, and brings into our hearts by revelation, that we would know who he is. John the Baptist said, I did not know him, but he who sent me to baptize with water said unto me, in whom you see the Holy Spirit descending and remaining on him, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. And I have seen and testified that this is the Son of God. John was dipping people in water as a preparation for a Messiah that should come. And John said, I was told that this person would dip people and immerse them in the Holy Spirit. And God wants to fill us and to overflow us with the Holy Spirit. And that's how we get a revelation of who Jesus is. Who is this Jesus? The Heavenly Father said this concerning him. Immediately when he came up out of the water, the heavens parted and the Spirit descended like a dove descends and rested upon him. And there came a voice from heaven, you are my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. And again, Heavenly Father spoke down concerning Jesus. At the time Peter, James, and John went up to the mountain and he was transfigured before them, the heavens opened again and a voice came and said, this is my beloved Son, hear him. This is the baby that was born in the manger, the Son of God, approved by God, sent by God to be your Savior and to be your friend. There's always a test. And Jesus had a test for the disciples. One day he was walking with them and he said this. He said, who do men say that I am? And they said, some say you're John the Baptist. Some say you're Elijah or Jeremiah or one of the prophets. And he said, who do you say that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, you are the Christ, the Son of God. Actually, what he said, you are the Messiah, the Anointed One, the Son of God. And Jesus answered and said to him, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonas, for flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father which was in heaven. If you know Jesus this morning and you want to know him more, the way to know him more is to open your heart more to the Holy Spirit and let the Holy Spirit come and speak to you and reveal Jesus to you. The Holy Spirit revealed himself to the disciples, and every one of them lay down their lives for what they believed in their heart and what God had revealed to them, that Jesus was the Messiah, the Son of God. Paul, the apostle that has written most of our New Testament Christian theology, towards the end of his life, his heart's desire was this. He said, what things were gained to me, I count loss. Yea, I count the loss of all things for the excellency of the knowledge of Jesus Christ my Lord. He says, I want to know him more. And later on in that same chapter in Philippians, he said this, that I might know him and the power of his resurrection. He says, the thing that I want to know more and more is to know Jesus, to know him more, to live for him, to be motivated by him. To know him is more than something we just learned from a book. Jesus came to this earth and he walked amongst men. He was born in a manger. He grew up. And he was, Bible says, he was tempted and tested in all points like as we are, yet without sin. Paul wrote this. He says, we do not have a high priest which cannot sympathize with our weakness, but he was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. It says, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. So Jesus is someone that we can approach. He's not a high priest that's far removed, that has got, sits on a throne in a high place that cannot be communicated to. He is someone that has come right here this morning, and he's with us. He is with us right here this morning. He says, where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I in the midst. And Jesus is here with us this morning. We can call on him from our hearts. Jesus is here and he brings forgiveness. We already prayed and asked for forgiveness. But thank God he is the Lord that forgives. When he was here on earth, he said, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. He said to the paralytic, he said, your sins are forgiven you. And then he said, rise, take up your bed and walk. There is acceptance with this Jesus. Jesus said this, he said, you did not choose me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit. Sometimes we think we made a wonderful, wise decision in that we chose to follow Jesus. But I suggest you stop and think a little bit, and you'll find out that it was Jesus who put his hand on you and chose you to follow him. So we've been chosen. When I was a young boy at school, we used to have impromptu games of soccer. And I was a little chubby. And there'd be two teams, there'd be two pickers, and they would pick John, they'd pick Paul, they'd pick Mark and Thomas, and eventually I'd be standing there and I'd say, well, you go to that team. And I knew what it was not to be picked and not to be chosen. But that's not the way it is with Jesus. Jesus has chosen me, and he's chosen you, and he's put his hand upon you. So we're chosen, we're accepted. He is the Lord that heals. You read that in the prophet Isaiah. He said, by his stripes we are healed. One of the things that impressed me, first of all, when I came to this church and visited was you had summer testimonies. And we listened to testimonies of people that had called on the Lord. And the Lord had healed them. 5 years ago, I was diagnosed with stage 3 cancer. And God has healed me. Jesus gives us his peace. He gives us his peace. He said, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives, give I unto you. So if your heart is troubled today, and I know in the world today, many, many, many hearts are troubled, and many people are very angry and upset, but God gives us peace. You know, Jesus' plan has not been derailed. His plan is still good. His plan still endures. So you take that peace. Take that peace, the peace of God. Jesus said, I don't call you servants. I call you friends. He's our friend. You know, we like to come to church. We like to meet with God's people. We like to greet one another. And we think, these are my friends. These are my people. You know, Jesus, he's our friend. He's the one that stands closer than a brother. He's with us. And then Jesus said, he said this, he says, I'm going to prepare a place for you. I'm going to prepare a place for you. You're my special bride, and I'm going to come and take you home. His desire is that we should be with him. In John chapter 17, the high priestly prayer of Jesus, one of the things that he prays to the Father, he says, Father, I will that those that you have given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory. We look at the way Jesus came into this world. He came lowly as a baby in a manger, this child. When we see him again, he's going to be in the Father's glory. We'll see him in all his glory and all his splendor. Last words are important, you know, when we're about to leave. And Jesus was about to leave. He was with the disciples. He went up onto the mountain and he said this to them. He said, you shall receive power after the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you'll be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, while they watched, he was taken up in a cloud, and it received him out of his sight. And while they looked steadfastly towards heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel and said, men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus who was taken up from you shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go. The angels announced his birth before he was born, to Joseph and to Mary and to the shepherds. And again, the angels here at the end, they spoke of his coming again. And Jesus is coming again. The last words that he said was, you will receive power after the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be witnesses to me. So when we look at Jesus and we see what he's done for us as individuals and as a group of people, he wants us to be witnesses to that. He wants us to be able to share that and tell our story to other people with the power of the Holy Spirit upon our lives, that other people might hear and understand and know who Jesus really is. If we were in church and I had the overhead projector, the transparency machine, the video on the wall behind me, I would put a prayer up there that we could all say. But you know, I was thinking about that. Jesus, whenever he was with the disciples, he didn't have any of those high-tech things. And they said, Lord, teach us to pray. And he said, pray like this. Perhaps he said, say after me. And he said the Lord's Prayer. So I'm going to say a prayer, and I'm going to ask you to say it with me. And I'm not going to trick you, because I'm going to tell you what the prayer is before we pray it. We're going to pray, and we're going to thank God for sending Jesus to be our Savior. We're going to thank him, thank Jesus for coming. We're going to thank him for going back to heaven. And then we're going to thank him for sending the Holy Spirit. And then we're going to ask him to fill us afresh with that Spirit of God, that we might be good witnesses to the world and tell the world who he is. So shall we pray? So, dear Lord, thank you that you sent Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, that you came to be my Savior. Thank you that you've gone back to heaven and you've sent the Holy Spirit. I ask you to fill me afresh with the Holy Spirit, that I might witness to the world who you are, that I might know you more clearly. In Jesus' name, amen. I said I'd preach through to Revelation, so I'm not finished. Jesus' last words in Revelation was, behold, I come quickly. And we would say, even so, come, Lord Jesus.